Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And today I'm going to be talking to you about somebody who has literally achieved the dream that many magicians wish that they could achieve, which is setting up their own venue to perform in. This person is an incredible magician, an incredible performer, and it's safe to say an incredible entrepreneur as well. I want to talk to him about everything he's achieved, because it is absolutely inspirational and mind-blowing. I am, of course, talking about the one and only Tom Bolton. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And first of all, I want to say a huge congratulations for setting up the Magic Corner. That's awesome.
Thank you. It's my little baby. I love it so much.
And I've never been. I know I really want to go. Is that where you are right now? Is that the Magic Corner?
Yes. Yeah, I thought I'd do it in here. Why not? Get the whole look.
That's brilliant. Well, a lot of people might not know who you are or might not have heard of the Magic Corner. So because of that, I want to kind of go into everything and talk about the whole lot and who you are and what the Magic Corner is and what led to you setting it up. But first of all, for people that don't know anything about Tom Bolton or who you are, we're going to start at the very beginning, and we're going to kind of start off with a bit of a, an origin story. So my first question for you, Tom, how did you get into magic?
It started when I was six. So it's been a while, been a long time. It's always been an interest, I guess. I had my magic kit when I was younger and all that, sort of same as everyone else. But, my main influence was my mum's cousin Andy. He showed me a trick when I was younger, and essentially he signed a card, and somehow that card appeared inside of his mouth, and it was great. It was the best thing I've ever seen, and I made him do it like 3 times, and he did, and I couldn't work it out, and I told him that I already had a bit of an interest in magic, so seeing that was great, and will he teach me? And he didn't. He did not teach me. He told me something else that was easier, but he said your hands are too small, you will not be able to do this trick, but you know, in a few years time, if you get better and you practice and you actually and he did teach me it, which was great, which is really cool, and that's kind of how it started. And then from then I just kind of built it up. It's always been a hobby, and I don't think it was until I left school that I kind of decided to take it seriously, and that is because at the end of school, when I was like finishing school, I started working at Magic Box as well. Started working at Magic Box, the shop in Newcastle. And okay. It was kind of there that I realized that magic can be a career. Because I think before then, I just thought it was kind of just a hobby. There was, you know, nothing else you could really do with it other than maybe perform at a few weddings and stuff. But it was working at the shop and seeing professional magicians come in and out daily that kind of realized, oh, this actually can be like career, that I could do this for a living in nothing else, which was kind of the turning point. So it was kind of like working the Magic Box that kind of gave me the realization of wanting to become a magician full time.
Did you go straight into Magic Box from school, working full time at Magic Box?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. So I started a Saturday job whilst I was at school, and then I left school, and then I went full time okay. When we moved to the new shop in Morpeth, near Morpeth. It was full time. Then I've kind of slowly gone part time, and then I no longer work there anymore because of this. But it was great.
Okay. Well, let's break a few of those things down. So you said that it was kind of more of a hobby during school, and you started taking it seriously when you went to Magic Box. Did you start doing professional gigs in school, or did you start doing professional gigs once you started working at Magic Box?
I think I started at school, but nothing big. It was kind of like, you know, your family and friends of friends sort of events that they'd be doing. So that's, I mean, that's how I started. Sorry, everyone starts as well. But yeah, it started like that. So nothing major. I did a few weddings kind of like towards the end of school, like sixth form sort of time. But yeah, it kind of remained a hobby for the majority of school. I didn't really perform at school either. I know a few people kind of knew I was a magician of some kind, but yeah, I never got my cards out at school, and I never really brought cards to school. It was always just a thing that I liked to do when I was at home, and the occasional like gig and stuff. But yeah.
Okay, and so obviously, then you left school and you went to Magic Box, and
yes.
If. You know, I've worked at a magic shop, and I don't know if you agree, but what I found is it makes you such a good magician in terms of performing and presenting, because you've got to perform that thing well enough to have people put their hand in their pocket and say, yes, I'll buy it.
I think the knowledge as well you gain from working at a magic shop, just like not even just the knowledge of how tricks work, but also what sort of tricks work well. And how to be a magician, I think, more than anything else. I think constantly seeing tricks come in. I remember when I first started working at Magic Box, I used to look at the wall of tricks and just think, oh my, I'm going to learn every single thing on that wall. I can't wait for it. And then like a few years later, when I was still working there, I looked at that wall and I was like, I don't want to learn all of those. There's so many to learn. I like to pick and choose kind of my favorites and just focus on them. There's so much to learn. Working in a magic shop, you do develop a really good understanding of the majority of how most tricks work and stuff like that, which I think is really useful.
Well, a couple of questions about that. Obviously, at Magic Box, you have Graham Shaw, who is one of the few magicians I know that literally does everything. He does illusion shows, he does kid shows, he does cabaret, he does close-up, he does, like, literally, you name it, he probably does it.
Absolutely.
Did you, and obviously I imagine you would have been working quite closely with Graham, did you find that you gravitated towards one particular genre of magic? Or did you kind of go, right, I'm going to do kids' gigs, I'm going to do illusion shows, I'm going to do it... But kind of when you started taking it seriously and you started working at Magic Box and you started doing gigs, what type of gigs were you doing and what type of gigs has that led to doing now?
Definitely close up, I would say. I worked really close with Graham a lot and everyone else there as well. Chris, who used to work there as well. But yeah, I worked really close with them. And I think the majority of what they do is close up. And that's because I think there's way more demand for close up than there is like somebody, a stage magician and stuff. So I definitely went down the route close up and still am, even this show is like close up as well. But I love stage magic. I love it. I wish there was more demand for it. I really want to do more stage stuff. But close ups the one, really. There's so much demand for it. I do think close up is how magic's meant to be seen. You know, it is meant to be. You're meant to be doing tricks right under their nose. That, like, you know, the misdirection is so easy. You know, it's easier. So I think magic is meant to be seen close up. So I did definitely go down the close up route. But yeah, I do love stage so much.
That's amazing. And so you started doing quite a lot of close up work, I imagine. You mentioned weddings and private parties, I'm assuming. And have you had? And although you say you want to do more stage magic, have you had experience doing stage? Have you got a stage show? Is that something that you've got?
I do. So I have a stage show. It's called Grow Up Magic Man. I basically create a bedroom on the stage, my old kid's bedroom. I debuted at Durham Fringe last year, and I'm taking it up to Edinburgh Fringe this year as well.
Oh, wow.
My first time in Edinburgh, so at Fringe. So I'm really excited for that. I can't wait. But yeah. So whenever there's a stage opportunity, I do try and take it as much as I can. I just wish there was more. Maybe going down the corporate route, like doing a bit of close up, also like a 20-minute spot on the stage. That's kind of the goal as well. I do have a stage show. Yeah.
That's perfect. So before we move on from Magic Box, one question. You mentioned about how you looked at that wall and you said, I'm going to learn everything. And then you went, oh, actually, it's impossible to.
Yeah.
As somebody who's worked in a magic shop and whose job is to sell people magic, have you got any advice for... hobbyists and people that buy magic? Because the question I got on this channel over and over again, Tom, is, oh my God, I just spend so much money on magic, and I buy it and I put it down in my room and I never learn it, and then I move on to something else. Like, do you have any advice on that sort of thing as somebody who's been literally surrounded by every magic trick for a long period of time?
Definitely. The main thing is, I remember even when I was a kid and I shopped at Magic Box before I worked there, my main goal was to just have my money and go in and just buy as much as I can with that. And you still get that. Even when I worked there recently, you still get that. And my main piece of advice is just choose one thing. Just, I mean, because people were coming in every week, like once a week, buying a new trick. And they buy like two or three tricks every week. The best thing to do is just buy one thing and learn that one thing. Otherwise, you kind of read it over, you glance and you're like, it's not really, this is actually harder than I thought. And they just put it to one side and it's gone, it's forgotten. So definitely just buy one thing and start with that, and just really, really hammer in on that until you have it perfect, and then go back and get the next thing. Maybe just find what you love the most. Like, there's so many card tricks out there. And just to start small, you know, we always recommended books in the shop because they are great. We do try to push books as much as possible, because say you have £30 can buy your book with 30 tricks in, or you can buy one gimmicks pack of cards for £30. You know, so it's like the books are definitely the way to do it. Just that, really. Just really try, and don't go in with the thought of I need to buy as much as possible. Go with the thought of let me buy one, like hit one gem, and really learn that, and then come back next week and get something else, or next month and get something else.
That's great advice. Really good advice. So here's the $1 million question. So you left school, you got a job at Magic Box. Everyone's dream, you know, any kid that's watching this that's at school, if you said, oh, what would you like to do when you finish school? You could go and work full time in a magic shop. That's like a lot of people's dreams right there. So you're in a magic shop. What was the goal? Was the goal, right, I'm in this magic shop, this is me set for the rest of my life? Or was it always, you said that you started taking magic more seriously. Was it, hey, you know what, I'm going to use this as a springboard to become a professional magician?
It was more that, to be honest. Working in the magic shop, to be fair, I never really thought, every time I was there, I never really thought it going any further. So when I started a Saturday job, I didn't see myself going full time. I kind of liked just working a little bit. And then the ultimate goal was to focus on my career as a magician, like try and do weddings as much as possible, corporate if I can. But then I went full time, and it really helped, to be fair. Like the amount, the amount I learned at Magic Box is crazy. Just working in the magic shop, the amount you learn just of the industry in general is mad. So it was always, so I went full time, but the goal was always, it was never to work there the rest of my life. It was to kind of use that, learn as much about the industry as possible, and then see where you can kind of take the magic career. And it took me here, really. But yeah,
that was my next question. So was the goal to own a magic bar, or was that something that you kind of happened later on? Like, or was the goal to be, because when you think about going full time as a magician, very few people think about owning a magic bar. I mean, there's very few of them in the UK. You've got Mark Bennett, you've got yourself, you know, you've got the guys up in North Wales at the magic bar. There's not that many at all. Was that always a goal, a pipe dream, or was it, hey, I want to become a professional magician, and this dream happened later on?
Yeah, well, it kind of was always a plan in my mind. Even when I was really young, I had the Magic Corner, not that it was going to be called Magic Corner at the time, but it was always an idea. The ultimate idea is, so essentially the Magic Corner, it is a bar, but you can't kind of just wander in off the street. So you have to book it. It's the show first, and then it's like a bar on the side. And it was always a goal, but the original plan was just to book, or just to find a space. I just wanted, the idea in my head was I just wanted this space where, instead of just a magician standing at the front of the space doing a show, I wanted the room to feel like the show. So from the second they walk in, they they're in the show, if that kind of makes sense. I use like objects, like a pack of cards, rather than just putting it on my pocket. It's held by a hand on a shelf, you know, that sort of thing, and just using just stuff like that. The original goal, I remember ages ago when I wanted to start this, me and my mom walked around. So I live in Durham. We walked around Durham, and the original plan was it was going to be like the back room of a restaurant, or like the spare room in a hotel, or something like that. I just wanted a space. So we wandered around Durham for hours, just asking every cafe, every restaurant, like, do you have like a spare room? This is the idea. And just couldn't find anywhere, and just stroke of luck walked past this place, which I'll show you around in a second. But it was a stroke of luck finding it. But this was always the goal. The goal was my own sort of show as such that I could kind of put my name to, and kind of really create my own sort of magic inside. That was definitely what it was called.
That's fantastic. And we're going to talk about the Magic Corner in a minute. But before we do, when you talked about working at Magic Box, you said that you went part-time and then you eventually left. Did you go part-time because gigs started coming in and you were getting so busy working as a magician, you were kind of like, something's got to give, and then that's ultimately what led you to leave? Was that the...
Yeah, so it was actually because of here. This started to pick up, it started to get busy. So the main sellers for this are weekends, and that was kind of when I was working at Magic Box. So that kind of, it wasn't working out in terms of time, because I really wanted to do as many shows as I could in here. So I went from, I think I worked the Thursday, Friday, Saturday when I was part-time. Then I even moved that to like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or something. So it kind of always just kind of, this did start to get in the way a little bit more. So I still tried as much as I could to be at Magic Box because I loved working there. Eventually it just got too much doing both. So that's why. It was because of
That's amazing. That's great. Okay. And do you find, so, well, actually, I'll ask that question in a minute. Let's start here. So where did you set up the Magic Corner? Because I remember going to Magic Box shortly after COVID ended. Mm-hmm. And me and Ryan went there, and you were there, and we were chatting. And you'd show me flyers for the Magic Corner then. So you'd set it up up shortly after COVID ended. It must have been.
It was set up about 3 months before COVID started.
Oh my God. Talk about bad timing for that.
It was awful timing. It was for something that it requires a group to meet up in a small space. It was terrible. I got the place like mid 2019, and I opened, I think, December 2019. And I didn't have many shows because it was really new. So I did a few, and then I think COVID kicked off maybe that following February in 2020.
Yeah, it was beginning of March, I think. Yeah.
It was horrible timing, like really bad timing. But in some ways, and I tell everyone this, it did kind of help, because when COVID was no longer a thing, when it was kind of ending, people were aching for something to do, things to do with their family and friends, and this was kind of, it was still new, so people kind of gave it a go. They were like, oh, there's something we've never done before, something brand new in Durham. We're free now. Let's try it. And a lot of people did, and a lot of people also met up with their family for the first time in here as well, which was really nice. It was kind of like a really nice thing, seeing the reunions and stuff, and then form the show to them, which it was really nice. So in some ways it did help sell it at the end, but I think I closed for a year and a half to 2 years, which was terrible once opening, but because it was a I did manage to secure some funding to just to keep it afloat, just, you know, pay the rent and the bills and stuff, which was good.
Oh wow. And obviously now, since then, it's gone from strength to strength. What am I trying to say here? Having a venue can be quite a difficult thing, and obviously you're relying on people booking shows for tickets. I imagine you do private hire as well. Has it been a kind of a difficult learning experience figuring out how to actually make this work? You know, has this been
a lot? There's so much. I don't even think I realize how much there actually would be by myself. The the main thing for me is just the little things that you forget about. So for me, the hardest thing for me is social media, which is strange because I'm on my phone quite a lot, but keeping on top of the social media is almost impossible because there's so much other things to do. So I do everything myself. My parents help me a lot, but I do the majority myself. So like the drinks runs and stocking shelves and, you know, learning the tricks, getting everything in, sending the tickets, doing the admin and stuff and the website. So I do it all. So I just forget about the social media, and it's really annoying because like social media would really help sell it, but I just forget it's there. It's a lot more than I thought it would be, but nothing too major. It's quite a simple business plan. You know, there's nothing really hard. So there's a lot of things that I found along the way, learned along the way that made things like so much easier. So I use there's a great booking platform that I use, which was designed for escape rooms. But I think someone actually came to the show before I used this and said, "Oh, do you know we own an escape room? We have this like booking site. You should look into it." And I did, and it was perfect. It was like exactly what I needed, just to let the tickets flow in and have that max number of 10 and a minimum number of 4. And it works a dream. So yeah, it wasn't even that much as well. So yeah, so definitely, I've learned so much along the way, especially to do with business as well. Just little things like licensing and insurance and all that. I didn't know much about it. I very much jumped into it. I didn't really. I know you're meant to, like, with these business things, like, really plan it out, like, strategically plan it out. I did not. I started renting the place. I jumped straight into it. I was like, right, what's next? And I did it kind of like step by step. To be honest, I did take a while to open. When I first got the place in like mid 2019, it took a good 4, 5, 6 months to actually get it going. But yeah, I do that. I do take things just one at a time and just learn. I like to learn as I go, but you do. I think that's the best way of learning, you know, getting stuck in.
I completely agree with you. And I can, you know, I mean, I think you've done the right thing just jumping straight in because it's worked, you know, and then some. It's fantastic. What made you decide? So the from speaking to you, the format here is you can't really just walk in off the street. You have to book a time slot. You come and watch a show, and I imagine you have numerous time slots through the day or the evening. Yeah. What made you go down that route? Because obviously different magic bars have different ways of doing things. You know, you've got people like Mark Bennett, who just has a bar, but he sells set show times. Yeah. You've got people like, you know, the Slights Bar in Bath, where you just walk in and you just rock up and you can just be in there in time and just watch shows.
Yeah.
You know, different. I've been to a lot of magic bars and they've all got different concepts. This feels a little bit like, is it the Small Space in Wales?
Well, my main influence, I guess, inspiration was Six Impossible Things, Joshua Jay's show. I love that. Yeah. I love the concept. Yeah, I remember. So I already had the idea for this, and then seeing him do that on Broadway or off Broadway, I was like, oh, this works, this can work. So that was my main inspiration, to be honest. The whole just concept of it just being a show. You can get a drink, but it's just a show. The only reason for the bar is just it generates that little bit more money in turn, and it's quite enjoyable. Like I think it would get not awkward if people came and they couldn't have a drink, but it's nice to be sat watching a show but holding a drink as well. It's just something to sip on just during the show. So that's the main reason for the bar. If it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't even have it. I kind of prefer just the show. The main reason for not opening it as a bar is I didn't want to be here full time. I didn't want to be here from like 11 o'clock till, you know, midnight or whatever. So it was kind of just, I like the idea of just the solely kind of the show, really.
That makes sense. So how long is the show and how many time slots do you have in a day?
Yeah, so from walking in to walking out, it's about 90 minutes in general. So essentially people walk in, this is the first room, so they sit here. There's two of them there, there's two seats here as well. I'm in the, so that's a little hatch, I'll show you in a second, that's a little hatch, but that's where the bar is in there. So I serve drinks through there. And then usually, you know, that takes about 5-10 minutes, if that. And then I kind of get cracking on with the show. So I have an announcement that plays with them. They have instructions to do before I even start. There's things for them to do. And then the first half's about maybe like half an hour-ish, maybe a little bit more. It kind of depends on the group, really. If they're quite loud and quite rowdy, then it might take a little bit longer. But if I can just if I or if I just do and you know you have a bit of crap with them. If it's just kind of quite quiet group, then you kind of just flow through the show, which is also really nice. And then there's an interval where usually it's usually people are kind of like here with the drink, so they will get another one. And then we head downstairs into this little more cabaret sort of parlor room. And again, another about half an hour to 35 minutes. And then we end, and then everyone goes. And then, yeah, and then I do, so it's about 90 minutes. And depending on the day, I do about 3 to 4 a day. Not anymore, actually. So I used to do 4 on a Saturday. It's gradually built up. So Halloween and Christmas are the busiest times. Because I do like a special Halloween show. And that usually, I sometimes push 4 shows a day. But at the moment, I think the most comfortable is like 2 or 3. So Wednesday, Thursday, well, there's 3 every day, essentially, that can be booked. It's like a 4 o'clock, a 6 o'clock, 6:15 or something like that, and 8:30. And then the weekend's a little bit earlier. So it's, yeah, one start at 1 on Saturday. Wow. Yeah, so 3 or 4 a day, usually.
That's amazing. And, okay, do you find that, of course, obviously, as well as having the Magic Corner, you also are a full-time pro. Do you find that having the Magic Corner can sometimes affect bookings that might come in as a, you know, hey, I want to book you for this big corporate event and blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah. I can't, sorry, I've got a show at the Magic Corner.
It does.
How do you balance that all out?
So unless someone's booked something like that pretty far in advance, I usually have to turn it down. So the Magic Corner, because it's only 10 people per show, it does get booked up quite fast and quite quick. So to be honest, I actually do find myself having to turn down quite a lot of weddings and stuff. I pass them on to other magicians often, but yeah, I find myself having to turn down quite a lot because this gets booked out quite far in advance. Because I always have to put more tickets up if I can. So, some people like really want to come, but they find it so hard to get a group together or find a time that everyone can do. So I usually put tickets up like 3, 4, sometimes 5 months in advance if I can. So yeah, I don't know. It has affected it, but in the same way, it's fine because I do still enjoy this. And I only live like 5 minutes that way. So it's really close to my house as well. So it's really, I always make sure the show is set. So like after the show, as soon as I walk in, I just get changed. And it's kind of ready to go, turn the lights on and stuff. So I definitely don't do as many close-up gigs as I would like to or can. But if this is books, then it's fine. At least I'm doing something, you know.
That makes sense. That's awesome. And I imagine that there's going to be a lot of people that come back, like repeat clients, yeah. Like, hey, they've seen the show. Now they're bringing more friends or they're hiring it out for something. So do you have to like constantly be changing your material or do you have, because you're talking about doing like, you know, like about an hour's worth of material. If you've got people that are coming back, like you're going to be burning through a lot of stuff there, Tom, right?
Yeah, so I actually do. So if there's a theme, the show does change quite heavily. So I have a general show that's just like kind of the main show. And then when it gets to September, it turns into the Halloween show where we do like a little seance and stuff downstairs, which is fun. That's September to November. And then that's almost straight into the Christmas show, which is again, similar to the normal one, but pretty different as well. There's a lot of differences in it. More Christmas themed, I guess. So it does. If there's a theme, it changes heavily. The general show, I tweak every so often. So the layout's the same. There's a good chunk. There's some things that will never leave the show. Like I've done it in. There's some like staple pieces that I'm so proud of and so happy with that I can't take it out. It's just too. And a lot of people come back, bringing friends, and they say, "Oh, are you doing this?" And I say, yeah. And they're like, oh, great, because I wanted to show my friends. In terms of people coming back, it does happen quite a lot, but not often the same group. Often, like, two will come back, but they've brought other people as well. And I always tell people, because, like, a lot of people ask the same question at the end of the show, like, oh, do you change it? We'd love to come back. And I say, so it does. So I tweak it. So if you come again, you definitely see, unless it's, like, a theme, if you come to the same show again, you'll see maybe one or two things new. Because I always tweak it and throw some stuff in and take some stuff out quite a lot. But I always say, if you bring other people, the beauty of magic, you'll find yourself watching them as well. So if you know what's about to happen, you will watch their face. And there's something completely different in that moment. You almost feel in on the trick, and it's a really nice, because that's what we love. You know, when they reveal their hand and there's a clear block in their hand, I'm looking at their face. I'm not looking at that block. I'm looking at their face, and you just watch it light up. And I always tell people that. I always say, if you come again, just watch people's faces, and it'll feel like a different show. So a lot of people come back and do that, which is nice.
Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic. And I imagine, like, it's the perfect environment in which to perform in, really, in that it's close up, but it's a formal show. So you're not having to, like, run around in cocktail receptions, fighting to grab people's attention. They're there to see you. But it's also the place where you can do close up. It's not like you're so far away that you have to, like, focus on different material. So you've really got the ability to perform any close-up trick, really, and then some, because you've also got your own venue, which, because you've got your own venue, it means that you've also got the ability, like you said, to set stuff up, like a hand holding a pack of cards.
Yeah.
And so I suppose my question is, you've got the ability to pretty much do anything. Like, very few people have that opportunity. Yeah. Like, how do you select the material? Like, is it all cards? Is it a mixture? Have you got that thing rigged up with threads and magnets everywhere, so there's stuff happening, like, that normal magicians couldn't do because you're in control of the environment? Like, what approach did you take with that sort of thing?
So, essentially, when I first started the show, I did pretty much do kind of my set. So upstairs is very informal. Downstairs is a lot more formal. So upstairs is very sleight of hand heavy in terms of, like, there's a lot of card tricks. To be honest, I even set up things that I don't use. Like, there's loads of gimmicked things in this room that if I do get a whole group who are new, I will just try. You know, I'll just pick it up and just do it. The main thing for me is I do want the show to flow. So I'm not a big fan of doing, like, a trick and then another trick and a trick. I need things to make sense. So that's something I work on quite a lot. Anything works. Anything that's close up works, really. As long as it makes sense. It has to make sense for me. But yeah, no, anything works. So the first half, there's a lot of card stuff. I do like a multiple selection where they each at the start of the show pick a card from a bowl and they sign it. And then again, that's like the souvenir that each of them get that they can take home. So find the cards. And yeah, there's a lot of influence things as well. You know, things that, you know, like inject, you know, for example, they think of a celebrity. So I do that in the show, and I almost tell them that the room has influenced them. Even if it hasn't, I just say it. So then even gets them, like, looking around the room, like looking for things like, what could I have been influenced by? If they think of a card, you know, what's telling me that card? A lot of people think the show is, it's kind of like very Derren Brown-esque sort of thing. I love Derren. So anything that could influence them in the room, I love that concept. So that's upstairs. And then downstairs is very much more, less cards, more them, more mind reading, more PK touch sort of thing. So
that's amazing. So here's a question for you, and I'm really interested about this from a marketing point of view.
Yeah.
So I imagine the summer's very busy for you.
Yeah.
Because obviously, tourism. But you also just said that you're taking your show up to Edinburgh. So, two questions on this. One, obviously, in order to go up to Edinburgh, you're shutting the show down.
Yeah.
You're shutting this down temporarily. Was that a difficult decision to make? And secondly, as a follow-on question to that, when you're marketing the Magic Corner, is it marketed as the Magic Corner, or is it marketed as Tom Bolton is performing for you? Like, you think of Russ Brown at the House of Secrets in Blackpool, it's Russ Brown's House of Secrets. But you look at Smoke and Mirrors, for example, it's just Smoke and Mirrors. Mark might not be there. The reason I'm asking that is, are you in a position to be able to have guest artists come in and go, you know what, you can keep the you know XYZ from this.
Yeah.
You run like what do you have? You're a very smart business person, I can tell. You wouldn't be in the position you are if you weren't. So you've got to have thought this sort of thing through. Like, I'd love to know your thought process on this.
So yeah, so Edinburgh's been a goal for a while, sort of like. So I've been doing this for like 4 years, and I was happy kind of doing this every summer. So yeah, Edinburgh's always been a goal, and now that I feel like I would never do Edinburgh if I didn't feel like I was ready for it, or I didn't feel like I had a show that was ready for it. I wouldn't just go and just trial something. So yeah, so Edinburgh this year is definitely a bit of a plunge. It's to be honest, as a business idea, it's not a great idea doing it. But it's more just a kind of I feel like I'm doing Edinburgh because I feel like I've got a show that's ready for Edinburgh now. I am just closing the Magic Corner at the moment. The ultimate goal, so I'm closing the Magic Corner and doing Edinburgh, but mainly because Edinburgh's just been a massive goal of mine. I really, really want to tick it off, and I feel like if I leave it another year, I just it'll go on. I feel like I just have to plunge into it and jump into it. So that's what I've kind of done this year.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of marketing Magic Corner, I did just start off as just it was just the Magic Corner, and like I didn't really have my name many places in the room. And then, so the main thing that made me change it to it's now the Magic Corner, or Tom Bolton Presents the Magic Corner, the Magic Corner - Tom Bolton Magician on Google, is that at the show, but because I wasn't doing many gigs, because this was getting booked out quite far in advance, I wasn't doing many gigs. And I used to have two Google things. I used to have a Tom Bolton Magician Google thing page and the Magic Corner Google thing. And the Magic Corner was getting all these really nice sort of like 5-star reviews. And the Tom Bolton Magician wasn't. It wasn't getting any reviews because I wasn't doing, you know, your weddings and your any things like that. So I feel like I was really missing out. So if someone would search Tom Bolton Magician, it would have zero views next to it. And I was like, oh, but the Magic Corner, which is essentially kind of me as well, was getting these nice reviews. So that was actually the reason that I changed it to the Magic Corner - Tom Bolton Magician. Mm. It's because I got rid of the Tom Bolton Google thing, deleted it, and just used the Magic Corner as me, just to kind of get those reviews for myself and stuff. And so that I do push it as Tom Bolton Presents the Magic Corner now. I didn't used to, but a lot of people told me that I should. I did. But as you say, because like Russ Brown, House of Secrets, I think Jamie Allen's Illusionarium, that sort of thing. So like, it's like it is a thing, and I never wanted to do it. It wasn't like I always thought it doesn't need it. But then loads of people said you should try it, and so I tried it, and it has made a difference. I've noticed a lot of people kind of recognize me more, and I really do kind of want to get my name out there as much as possible, as well as the Magic Corner. So I've kind of combined the two now.
And would you ever consider having other people in there? Or is that a difficult proposition to think of? Because, I mean, I run an entertainment agency, and the hardest thing for me when I first started the entertainment agency was thinking, oh my God, I've got this brand and now other people are going out and I've got no control over their performance. Yeah. I've got no control over anything. What am I going to do if they do a bad job? And it's something that plagued me for such a long time. I imagine that that's something that would go through your head even
it
more.
It has. It's something I've given a lot of thought. Like at some point, I'd actually really like to pick your brain on it. Like your history in it. But it's something that I definitely thought about. And a good few magicians have asked as well. And I've currently said no, but for the future, possibly. I think the main thing is it's a show for 10 people. So I wouldn't call it a big opportunity for like if someone came in just to do one show because it's 10 people, you know, if I got someone in for like a day, like just to do one, like if they got in touch with me and said, oh, can I do a spot at the Magic Corner? It's not so much that. It's not really how the Magic Corner works, because it's only 10 people per show. So it's not so much a spot that you can just do. It would be more fully like full-time sort of thing. Definitely something
I'd do like a takeover weekend, couldn't they? You could have somebody in and go,
Yeah, potentially,
weekend has been taken over by blah.
Yeah, that's the goal. The main thing for me is, and it sounds bad, but as you say, it's just looking for that right person. Because the thing about this show is it's not just, you're not just performing the show. And I know so many magicians who would be great, who would just do the magic so well. But the main thing is, from the minute they walk in to the minute they walk out, you're with them constantly. Even when you're not doing the show, when you serve them the drinks, you have to chat to them. You have to do small talk. You have to be this group's friend for an hour and a half. And that's quite a hard job, you know. Like, performing the show is quite easy, but then you also have to go from that zone of your performance mode to just you. You have to be chatty. You have to be nice and stuff like that. And that's the hardest bit. Like, performing the show is a breeze, you know, because like it's up here. It's like you almost go into this completely new character. You just go into this zone, but you have to keep that character throughout the whole time that they're here. Because that's what I'd be scared about when I get other people involved, is just can they handle the constant being with this group? Mm. You know what I mean? So that's my main worry. But it's definitely a plan. It's definitely a future plan. I know I'm in talks with a few magicians who would like to put on a show here. I mean, the main goal for me is, we'd probably get into this a bit later, but my ultimate goal is to kind of maybe franchise it a little bit. I wouldn't mind one in a few other cities.
Well, actually, I'm so glad that was going to be my next question. Let's talk about that, because here's the thing. How old are you, Tom, if you don't mind me asking?
24.
You make me sick. Right, okay. So you're 24 years old. You have your own very successful business. You perform. You're going to the Edinburgh Fringe. You've got the Magic Corner. I mean, you're living the dream, buddy. You really are. But I can tell that, like I said before, in order to get to where you are, you have to be goal-driven. You have to be ambitious. You have to be entrepreneurial.
Yes. Yes.
What's the goal? Not just the goal in terms of a business point of view, from a Magic Corner point of view, but from Tom Bolton's point of view, what are your magical bucket list items that you want to hit that you haven't hit? We're talking about the Fringe, but what else? Tell me everything that you're wanting to achieve moving forward.
It's definitely Fringe. I love, so the ultimate goal for Magic Corner, it wasn't for a while, but only recently I've started thinking about it, is to franchise it, is to have the Magic Corner Durham. So it's currently the Magic Corner Durham, but then have the Magic Corner York, the Magic Corner London, that sort of thing. And it's kind of shown that it works. Like, Durham's it's not a busy city. You know, it gets a decent amount of tourists, but it's not busy. And it's worked. So I think if it was to open one in a bigger city, like more touristy city, then it would work as well. So the ultimate goal is to have one in these nice places. Like, so I think the next goal is maybe York. I'd love a Magic Corner in York. I think the main goal would be for me to move to York and do the show for like a year and get someone else to do this one. That would be the main goal. On the Shambles in York would be great. Just stuff like that, just little hidden gems just in York. So yeah, so the ultimate goal is to open a few more of these. It's just, I have no idea where to start. Like, it's one of those that, like, I very much jumped into this, but that's a whole other ball game. I'm starting fresh. I'm starting from the beginning. I don't know how to even get it going. So that's the ultimate goal.
You should go to the franchise show in London every year. Right. They have a massive show called the Franchise Show, where they have experts in franchising giving advice on how to set up your own franchise, what you should do, the pitfalls, the pros, the cons. It's a free event you should go to. It runs over 2 days. You should go.
Yeah, well, 100%. Yeah, that sounds great. So yeah, so that's kind of the goal for this. For me, I love I love magic, but my other obsession is theatre. Just obsessed with theatre. I try to go to the theatre. Anything that comes up north, I will go see. And I often go to London. I can't go to London without seeing a show. I love the idea of consulting on a show. So I did kind of recently. So the pantomime in Durham, it's not a massive pantomime, but it's big. And they got me and my friend Corey in this year to just consult, just say, oh, they gave us a script, said, oh, can you add any magic to this? And that's been a bucket list for a while, like getting in on, I love doing shows, but there's something about being behind the scenes as well, which I really enjoy. So I think it's just such a fun process. So that was a big bucket list for me, but I'd like to expand that more and just work behind the scenes on shows, not just magic shows, but like even like musicals, and just kind of just put a foot in there, just kind of, you know, this would look great, and this is how you do it. And we did that for the gala this year. We designed a really nice, it was Cinderella, and we designed a really nice sort of idea for the carriage appearance. And they did it and they pulled it off. I mean, we just kind of gave them the idea and said, this is how you'll do it. But they pulled it off, it looked great. So just being in the audience and seeing that on such a large scale was just, it felt so good. So I'd love to go down that route a lot more. In terms of performing, yeah, just I'm not really that bothered about where I'm performing. You know, I don't have any dreams of LA or even Vegas, really. I think, the ultimate goal would be the Magic Corner on the West End.
Oh, wow. That'd be great, that would right? Be great.
I love the West End. So if I could, even if it doesn't have to be a big show, even just this, even if it's not on West End, like off West End or whatever, just something, I guess, in London would be fantastic. I think that's maybe the ultimate goal. But yeah, that's it really. Yeah. Consulting, working on, just working in theatre in general. I love the idea.
So would you say that franchising the Magic Corner and doing more with the Magic Corner is probably more important to you than performing your own show somewhere? So, for example, let me throw you a hypothetical here. Some of the best magicians that I know that are very, very successful at what they do got their start at the Edinburgh Fringe. People like Tom Crosby, yes. People like Piff the Magic Dragon, you know, all these sort of people. What and you know as well as me, there's agents there constantly. What would happen if you were doing your show, an agent saw it and contacted you afterwards and said, hey, we want you to do a tour, you know, a 6-month tour. We'll promote it around all the theatres. Your show is amazing. We want you to do this tour. It's going to take 6 months of hard work to get it together. Then you're going to spend 6 months on the road.
Yeah.
What would you do within that hypothetical? Would you go, okay, this is too good an opportunity, I'm doing this, but you couldn't, that has to happen straight away. You've got no time to put somebody in at the Magic Corner. Like what would you do? I know it's a difficult question, but
it is. Yeah. So I often think about this, like if a massive opportunity came along, I couldn't say no. It's one of those things that, like, as you say, it's like, I think a lot of magicians have these bucket list items and a tour is definitely one for most. So if that sort of thing happened, I couldn't say no, I'd have to do it. In terms of this, if it was a case of jumping straight into it, I'd struggle because I'd probably have to cancel a few shows here. But if it was like, say, January next year, we want to take you on tour, I would do it. I would 100% jump into it. I would do it. I would try my hardest to find someone else to do this show, because this show, you could take any magician and kind of pop them in here, kind of tell them the ropes, tell them how to serve the drinks and stuff like that. But they could do their own material, you know, as long as they do, rather than just putting the cards in the pocket, have them on the shelf and stuff, like they could do their own material and essentially do a different show to me, which is great. I teach them a few of the things that I do downstairs, because I think there's a few things downstairs that kind of work really well with the show and a lot of people come back to see. I would try my hardest to find someone else to do this if that came along. But yeah, it's one of those things that I would take it as it goes. You know, I'm not actively looking for that sort of thing, but if the opportunity came along, I would take it 100%. Yeah.
One last question on that. You are obviously a very creative person, because you've talked several times in this interview about, hey, I've got this piece that I've created for this show, which is absolutely perfect. And you've been working, or you have worked at a magic shop for years, so you've seen how many new tricks come out all the time.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an inclination of taking that creativity and using it to create a trick? Or have you got any aspirations of lecturing? Because we've talked, what's really interesting is a lot of the time when I interview people on Talk Magic, it's people that are very well known within the magic community. It's people that have this profile within the magic community. Oh, this person is amazing because they lecture all over the world. This person's amazing because they've bought out 30 or 40 tricks. you're kind of like the best kept secret in magic, in that a lot of what your success has come away from the magic community, and it's more what you're doing for yourself and the business that you've set up for yourself, as opposed to what's happening in the magic community. Was that by design? Or do you have any, are we going to be seeing you entering competitions in the future or putting a lecture together, or are you just happy doing it the way you're doing it?
So I'm happy doing it the way I'm doing it. The I do want more magicians to know about it. I really want more magicians to kind of know about magic. I want them to come, to be honest. I really want magicians to come and just see it, because I've had a few magicians before and they love it. They love looking around. I mean, like, just on the wall, there's just so much. You're surrounded by the art of magic in this room. There's so much going on constantly. So I really want magicians to see it and just chat to them and just get feedback on the show as well. You know, like, some of the best ideas have come from other magicians who've been to the show, and they've been like, oh, why don't you do this? And like, that's genius. Why didn't I think of that? You know, that sort of thing. In terms of like lecturing and stuff, So there's a few things that I've created in the show, but I'm not very good at creating a brand new effect. I'm much better at taking an effect and adding a routine to it, or like adding a story to it, or adding, like, that's where I lie. So I don't really have anything that's brand new, but there's a lot of things that, like, I've taken something and made it my own, or made it fit the magic corner, or put a nice story to it, and that sort of thing. So yeah, so if I was to lecture, it would be more along the opening your own venue sort of side of the business side of things. I feel like that's what I could probably give more insight on, rather than kind of like material and stuff like that. There's a few things downstairs that I do in the show that are, I think magicians would just kind of come, and it's not something they haven't seen before, but it's something they can see and kind of really appreciate how the thought that's gone into that sort of routine, just so that it fits the room and it makes sense. And you know, that even just the little things like where I'm standing, like where the misdirection is, and just little things like that that have come over time with doing this show, like, you know, 10 times a week, just little things, like little subtleties. I think magicians would really appreciate if they came to see the show.
Well, before we carry on, if any magicians are watching this and they want to come, they find themselves in and around the Durham area, and they want to come and watch the show, can you tell me the website and how to...
So if you just go to themagiccorner.co.uk, it takes you to kind of like my website and the Magic Corner, where it's all kind of combined. Just go to the Magic Corner page, and then there's just the booking page on there, and you can scroll through all the dates. You can scroll through, if you're on a desktop, there's like, it's green, yellow, or red. If it's red, it's all the 10 tickets are sold. If it's yellow, there's a few tickets left. If it's green, that means all 10 are available, so you can kind of book out the whole thing and reserve it for yourself if you want. Or just drop me an email. You know, I do everything manually. I can do everything manually, or give us a ring. I can do everything manually as well.
The next question on that is, obviously you've talked about how you do close up and you've never really performed for kids.
Yes.
Our kid, is it a family show? Are kids invited?
Yeah, it's a family show. So the beauty of the show, actually, it just works for anyone, really. I've had kids who, so the recommended age is 8+. But I've had six-year-olds who have come to the show and enjoyed it just as much as the adults. You know, it's more of a recommendation. It's just, the main thing for it is there's a lot of interactive aspects of the show. There's a point where everyone picks a deck of cards and they're using these cards. So a six-year-old would kind of struggle to use these cards. And it's very much a thinker's show. Like, it's not a visual show. It's very much a sort of like influencing, sort of thinking, sort of story show. So I often think a younger kid wouldn't gain as much from it, if you know what I mean. There's no fancy sort of, there's a few visual aspects in the show, but yeah, that's kind of what I'm aiming for now, actually. It's just, I'm trying to make it, so I feel really happy with the show and the magic that's in it. The main goal right now is to just try and make it more theatrical. So I'm looking into adding some lighting downstairs to add like little spotlight moments and changing the color of the room and stuff like that. I really want to do something with UV. I'm not really sure what yet, but something. And I've added like little music, like cues and stuff over time. But yeah, it works for everyone. there's a few reviews that kind of go in on the whole, like, we came as a family, we had an 8-year-old and an 80-year-old, and they both enjoyed it as much as each other. So it really is for anyone. Yeah, I've had a few kids parties as well, so, like, you know, one adult and 9 kids in this room, and it's great. It's
wow.
Yeah, so it doesn't, it literally works for anyone. I might have to tweak the shows ever so slightly just to make sure, like, just, you know, what I say, just the wording, and just, you know, as you do, you just kind of adjust the way you perform.
And is it open in the week as well?
Yeah, so I do Wednesday to Sunday. And then the Wednesday and Thursday, they kind of hit or miss. Sometimes I'll have one, sometimes I'll have three. Yeah, sometimes I'll have a show for just 4 people. You know, can happen.
But that's, I imagine
it's
that's
a club one. It's fun. To be fair, when it's 4, I just change it so that I'm essentially just having this conversation with this 4 people for an hour and a half. Rather than standing in the front doing this show, it's like I just sit down next to them, I'm like, let's do this, you know, that sort of thing. And it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Fantastic. That's amazing. Wow. Very, very impressed. You said you were going to be able to show us around. Could we have a quick look?
Okay. Yes, what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to switch this over to my phone, and I'll show you as much as I can, because I think I can do that. I tested this yesterday, so it should work. But this is upstairs. Let me switch this. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay, can you see me? We're good? I'll turn it this way as well so you can see me. All right, so essentially, this is the gate. If you come in. This around. There we go. All right. So I don't know how far I can take you out. Oh, the address is 19 and a half Old Elbert.
Oh, very cool.
19 and a half. I hope this doesn't lose thingy, but this is the gate to come in.
Yep. That's great. Oh, look at that.
So it's on the corner. It's on a corner in Durham. And then this is the gate. So the gate opens about 15 minutes before the show starts. And they come in. This is what it looks like when you come in. There's a little coat hanger where you can put your coat up, and then essentially it's always jazz. I go down the route of smooth jazz all the time, so smooth jazz playing, and then this is essentially room number one. So there's 3 seats there, 3 seats here, 2 seats there, and 2 high seats there, and it forms like this little semicircle, and then I do the performance in this middle space here. But yeah, I'll show you around. It's kind of like the room. So it's got menus as well. So these are the drinks and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Just little things like that. That's a little rabbit lamp, which I love. Little things like that. I'll open the hatch in a second. And then that's, you know, the slow dance feathers.
Yes.
Always a nice icebreaker. You know, it can get awkward when people come in. You know, they're kind of sat here. They don't really know what's going on. I'm just going to leave you there for just 2 seconds while I do this.
And that looked like the Blake Voigt Vanishing Ink artwork on the wall back there for Abracadabra.
I think it's Blake Voigt's Abracadabra sign. So this is the bar, essentially, when it opens. That's what it looks like in there, which I've actually only recently done up like that. So I essentially stand here and serve the drinks, but I also start the show here. So I do like a chop cup routine, stuff with cards. And one of my favorite tricks that I'm doing at the moment is called, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's called Shake, Shuffle, and Twist.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can't remember who it's by, but it was in the Jinx magazine a while back. Essentially, you mess up a deck of cards inside of a cocktail shaker. And then you kind of restore them, which is really cool, inside the cocktail shaker. But yeah, so that's the bar. So I serve the drinks there.
That sounds like a Steve Bedwell routine.
Steve Bedwell, that's it. Yes, that's the one. I think it's called Shake, Shuffle, and Twist or something like that.
He ended up doing it with a pop noodle calendar.
That's well. Right. He gets 2 pop noodles and pops them together. That's the one, yeah. So I do it inside of a cocktail shaker. When I open the cocktail shaker, there's loads of smoke that pours out as well. It adds nothing, but it looks great when they open it. So yeah, so this is room one, and everyone comes through here. Then the second room is through here. So
you have a secret door.
Oh, I do.
Oh, that's amazing.
Just like that. So that's room one, just there, and then room two. So we have an interval in here, and then we take people downstairs. Everyone sits down here. There's a few like things on the wall.
Oh, look at that.
And this is the parlor room, I guess you should, I could say.
Wow.
And then this is where we can really kind of like hone in, like do like the more theatrical things and just things happen. So in Halloween, if you can imagine this room, but with a big table in the middle and everyone sits around it, we do like this, this seance right here. When you know, with the candles and stuff, and it is quite. It's, do you know what, it's funny because I never liked the spooky side of magic until I started doing it. But as soon as I had this place, and you just look down there, it was just born for a séance. You know, it was just made for a séance. So yeah, so you come down here. This is where everyone sits for the second part. This is one of my favorite things I'm doing at the moment. Geometric, which is oh, it's just yeah. great. And then yeah, so just a little stained glass, and yeah, just I love the candles. Some books on there, some cards. So everyone picks a deck of cards from here for their own trick, which is fun. It's just some things on here, just little things. And yeah, just through here, it's just a bathroom, really. That's me. And it's just a toilet in there.
But, yeah. You really thought this through.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I'm happy to constantly improve as well. So I'm kind of always throwing money at it just to try and, like, the candles were like an addition, like I don't know, 6 months ago, but they've really added to this room and just yeah, just little things, just trying to make it as just trying to improve it as much as possible. This is a drawing that a friend of mine. So this is all done in Sharpie. That a friend of mine did. And it's of the gate outside. It's all done in loads of little dots. I don't even really know if you can see them. It's quite dark in here, but just essentially loads of little dots like that. But it creates this, so that a friend of mine did that, and I love it. Just it really adds, and just yeah, just little things. So this is where it all takes place, and then they come back upstairs at the end, and they yeah, say their goodbye, get their coats, and yeah, that's it.
That is incredible. I love everything about this space.
It's honestly, it's perfect. So this wasn't here. This wall, when I first came in, this was all bare. This was a window and a storage room, and then that was, it didn't exist. It was all kind of like one room that just went down. So what I did was we built the wall here and added the bookshelf and just kind of separated it into the two rooms. Because I don't know, I just really like the...
No, it's great.
I really like the difference in the... Hang on.
I really like the difference in the two halves. Like the first half is very much very informal. It's very... almost as if you're watching a magician at a bar, you know, and then the downstairs you can it's more like this. Oh, this feels like a magic show, you know, that sort of thing.
It just looking around at there, everything feels like really special. Like they're almost getting a peek behind the curtain of stuff that they're not yeah. really meant to see. It's great. It's,
you know, it's one of those things that I just think like when you, if you can do magic, magic is meant to be seen close up, you know, it's how it's probably how it was designed and stuff. So being able to like allow them to be so close to everything at all times, you know, like no sleeve, I don't wear sleeves in the show. Those people come and say he's not even wearing sleeves. I'm like, yeah. I don't wear sleeves or anything. So it's allowing people, yeah, as you say, just allowing people to be that close to the magic and really, really experience it. Because there's only 10 people per show, so everyone is involved at least once in the show. So yeah, but yeah, no, just yeah, as you say, yeah, it's almost giving them a sneak peek.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I'm definitely going to be coming up and watching your show.
Amazing.
That'd be
great.
Tom, yeah, and very quickly, because obviously we've got to wrap this up in a second. Very quickly, how different is your Edinburgh? Are you running for people that are going up to Edinburgh this year that you want to come and see some magic? Can you tell us a little bit about the show and how different is it? Because obviously it's a stage show versus a close up show. How different is it to what you've described that happens at the Magic Corner?
So my show at Edinburgh is it's there's I think a few things that are similar to Magic Corner, like a few routines I do in here that I'm taking into that show as well. But generally, it's a different show. What I wanted to do was take a show to Edinburgh that's just a bit different. So I'm really playing on the whole theatrical side of magic if I can. So I've built a set with my friend. We built this bedroom, like a childhood bedroom. But we've actually got like flats, so two flats that are next to each other. It's got like the Toy Story-esque sort of like wallpaper to it and stuff, you know, like little clouds and stuff. So we really made it like this kind of like childhood bedroom, and the whole show is essentially what it's like to grow up as a magician in the 21st century. That's kind of like the whole ploy of the show. And so there's a lot of theatrical moments. Like, so I mean, luckily found a venue that allows a set, because a lot of venues don't. They don't have the storage for it, but fortunately I found a venue that does. So it's not a mass venue. So I think it's a 90-seater little lecture theatre, but they're blacking it all out, so it has that like sort of like black box stage sort of feel to it. We built the set, so the set's kind of ready to go. And the main thing about the Edinburgh show is just the theatrics, which I'm trying to make the show just more theatrical. So utilize your blackouts, your spotlights, your different colored lighting. Utilize the set as much as possible. So the whole hopeful goal is, even though the set, the wallpaper's a sky, at one point in the show, I want little LEDs to come on so it looks like the night sky, so it changes from day to night. And just really play on that, just to add to the magic. I think going down the theatrical route is such a great thing for magic. Utilize blackouts. There's a Cluedo routine where I'm like dressed as a detective and I have a torch, and it's black, pitch black in the room, and I'm like in the audience, like following this torch, throwing a balloon out. And so yeah, so I really, really, really want to make it as theatrical as possible. So yeah, so I feel like Grow Up Magic Man, it's quite a special show for me. I really, really, really enjoy doing it, and I'm really happy with it where it's at the moment. I'm tweaking it ever so slightly, because it was when I did it in Durham, it was kind of venue specific. There was a few things that only worked in that venue, so I'm going to tweak it slightly, but generally it'll be the same. But yeah,
so are you there for the whole run of the Fringe? Are you there for the whole of August?
Yeah, the 2nd of August till the 24th of August. It's with Greenside Venues on George Street. It's in the Royal Society of Edinburgh building. It's a really big building on George Street. So I'm in there. I think I'm in the Forest Theatre, which is really
brilliant. And what's the name of the show so that people can get tickets, and where can they get tickets from?
So tickets aren't available just yet, but they will be up soon. But the show's called Grow Up Magic Man. So it has two kind of looks at it. It's a Grow Up Magic Man in terms of, like, you know, when you want to be a magician, a lot of people tell you to grow up, which is like what every magician gets when you tell people you're a magician. You know, that's not a real job sort of thing. And the other way of looking at the name is it's growing up as a magician, what it's actually like growing up as a magician. So there's kind of the two ways to it of looking at it. But yeah, so it's Grow Up Magic Man. I don't know when tickets go up. I've registered and stuff. I think it's like the next few weeks or something. So they'll hopefully be up soon. But yeah, so fingers crossed. The main reason for Edinburgh as well, I went last year, but didn't take a show. And fortunately managed to get a small spot. Tom Brace allowed me a small spot on his late night magic show, and I loved it, and I just loved the atmosphere, the community, the everything. I fell in love. I love Edinburgh, to be honest. I'd live in Edinburgh if it wasn't so far away from everything else. I love Edinburgh. I love it so much. So yeah, just to be there for a month is great. So I'm doing the 2nd till the 24th of August, I think, 3 weeks.
Well, it looks like Edinburgh is going to be a place that you have to take the magic room to when you start franchising it, the magic corner when you start franchising it.
Yeah, 100%. I think Edinburgh is definitely up there. Any Harry Potter-esque city will do. You know, Durham, you know, I don't know if you know, but Harry Potter was filmed at the Cathedral in Durham. So there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of Durham tourists, sorry, Harry Potter tourists who come to Durham, which is great. And obviously York has the Shambles, Edinburgh has... just Edinburgh is just, it's Hogwarts. I think anywhere like that would be great. So fingers crossed one day.
That's fantastic. And if people want to get tickets to come and see you at the Magic Corner, once again, it's www.themagiccorner.co.uk, and you've got all of the dates, and you can see how many tickets are left, and you can go on and book, and you're open on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, and yeah, just book your slot, come up. Let me know if you're a magician and you come and drop me a message. I'd like to know before you come, just so I can take the show.
You know, Newcastle is such a the Newcastle area is such a great place to go. You've got Magic Box, which is one of the best magic shops. I mean, the theatre that they've got there and everything, the new building that they're in is just incredible.
Same with Magic Box. Graham's constantly trying to improve it as well. So, like, even the theatre, I think the last time you came, it all looks completely different now. You know, we've added like a projector and just like adding stuff as you go, just trying to make it better. I know that's the ultimate goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. It looks like Newcastle Durham is becoming the mecca for magic right now, which is really exciting. And
Awesome.
you know what, Tom? Thank you so much for jumping on here. I know how busy you are. You've got shows today, I'm assuming, because it's a Thursday. So I really appreciate you taking time out to be able to do this. And I'm blown away with what you've achieved at the age of 24, everything that you've done, everything that you've got lined up. You genuinely are, and I'm not just saying this, you genuinely are an inspiration. So, congratulations. What you've done is really hard, and not a lot of people have been able to do that, and you have, and it's exceptional. It really is great.
Appreciate that a lot, and thank you for having me. It's been great, and thank you, genuinely. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. I want everybody that's watched this interview to do three things. First of all, leave a comment down below. Let Tom know what you thought of the interview. And then secondly, if you find yourself up at Edinburgh this year, go and see Tom's show. If you find yourself anywhere near the Durham or Newcastle area, go and see the Magic Corner. And finally, keep an eye on Tom's socials, because if he does get to a point soon where he's franchising, I know a lot of magicians that would jump at a chance. Well, hang on, you can have your own venue and just work, and I'll give you the blueprint and you just have to do it. I think that's an incredible opportunity for a lot of magicians, and I think you're onto an absolute winner. I know a bit about franchising, and Tom, I think that that is an incredible business idea. I think you're onto a winner there.
That is the goal. It's the goal. Hopefully, we'll see.
Amazing, man. That's amazing. Guys, leave a comment down below. Let Tom know what you thought of the interview. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back again next week, but one more time, on behalf of on behalf of Tom Bolton and the Magic Corner. Thank you so much. We'll see you again. Tom, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel,
Magic TV,
which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic podcast.